Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with Liz Freemuth. Back in the studio with us, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hole. And today we'll be talking about overwintering your plants. And of course, we'll take all of your gardening questions as we move along. So how did your garden do this summer? What do you want to know about protecting your plants from winter weather? I hope you'll join in with your calls, with your questions. You can email us as well, and we always love to hear from you. And I always love to see Cheryl Gasser come by because she is does a wonderful job here at Wisconsin Public Radio, including helping me talk to you about our fall membership drive. The single largest source of funding for WPR programs is, of course, from listeners like you. And it's your chance, this drive, to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Cheryl, it always gives me a warm spot when I see all the people who are contributing.
And they do every time, Larry. They love Wisconsin Public Radio, and we love them right back. So thank you so much to everyone who gave last hour. And now here we are. It's time for Garden Talk this hour, a new goal, 20 pledges this hour.
And these goals are pretty important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You are powerful because people who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio for all the programs you love. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs like Garden Talk, like the Larry Mueller Show, that deliver the greatest value to you.
And here we are in Garden Talk. I think it's a very popular show. We have lots of people who listen to Garden Talk. You're one of those people. Your contribution during Garden Talk, it keeps our public service radio on the air, not only for this show, but for all of the shows that we air here. You're helping the entire community when you contribute. So I hope you'll give right now at 1-888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
WPR, we are listener supported, and that means that pledge drives like this are an important time to hear from you. Now, if you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially love to hear from you right now.
And remember, any amount you give makes an important difference, and giving takes a couple of minutes of your time. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make a contribution. I don't know, $10 a month, $120, something like that. When you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
In life, we get comfortable with our go-tos. Along with WPR programs, what's a go-to in your life?
Coffee.
Definitely a cup of coffee.
I love to have a great cup of coffee in the afternoon.
Every single morning, as soon as I get up, with a couple cubes of ice in it, I don't have to wait for it to cool down.
Every day, right before work, I stop across the street to get my cup of coffee. That is my pick-me-up.
It's a routine, but also a vice.
This fall membership drive, get comfortable being comfy in your new go-to, the WPR Crewneck Sweatshirt. You can check it out at WPR.org. Give $20 a month or make a one-time gift of $240. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser, and we're asking for your support during this fall membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Take a minute to think about everything that you have learned on Garden Talk alone, let alone Larry's show and the Ideas Network. On Garden Talk, you know, we're talking this hour about overwintering your plants, but recently, Larry, you've talked about prairie gardens and fall lawn care and preserving your harvest and seed saving. The list goes on and on. I know personally your show, listening to your show, you've saved me money. You've inspired me. If we have done that for you, make a pledge of support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really, really helps. So just take a couple of minutes right now to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Have we gotten any contributions yet?
We absolutely have, Larry. We're off to a great start this hour. People love their gardens, and they love Garden Talk, and they love Larry Mueller. We are looking for 20 pledges this hour. We already have 8. We already have
eight.
So that is terrific. Thank you so much for those pledges, but we need to hear from you. You've been meaning to pledge. Do it now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Cheryl, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. If you, as you listen, are not a sustainer, you could become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Your gift is so powerful. It makes a big difference. So please become a member, make an additional gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
And Cheryl, you'll come back and be with us again.
I absolutely will.
All right. Well, I tell you what, ready to go here is Liz Freemuth. It's always great to have Liz come by. Thanks so much for joining us, by the way.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is a great day to be on. Happy to support public radio with my time, efforts, whatever.
Well, I tell
you. And my dollars. You guys get those, too. I'm a sustainer. I just upped my donation by $5 a month yesterday. So, yay.
Good for you.
Yes. So, everybody, come on, join in.
Join in and join in with your questions for Liz as well. We have lots of things we can talk about today. The fall weather seems to have arrived today. At least it was pretty cool as I walked over to the station.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder that the growing season is winding down. What do we do about getting our gardens ready for next season? Anything you do right now?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And actually, I looked long term at the weather this morning to see where we were headed. Yesterday was a lovely anomaly for us. Well, not as much of an anomaly this year as, you know, in past years. But what we're looking at for weather is in the mid to lower parts of Wisconsin, you're looking at highs that are going to be in the 40s and 30s after about next week.
Oh.
And so at night.
Yeah.
Now, during the day, we're looking still in the 50s and 40s. So what that signals is fall is here. So you really do want to start looking at items that need to come into the house or others that need to go into the ground. So bulbs, as soon as that night temperature starts dropping and you're watching soil temperatures, so then when they start hitting a little bit above 50, maybe even 55, and then start heading downward when they're on the downward slope, yeah, then you want to get your bulbs in. You don't want to put them in when the soil is too warm or else they'll start to sprout before they really should. So that's coming up, bringing plants in when temperatures at night get down underneath 50 degrees, tropicals will start to suffer. And so you need to start thinking about bringing any of those in and transitioning them slowly so that they don't drop all their leaves and stress themselves out over winter. Annuals, if you want to bring annuals in, now is the time. Don't wait until we get a frost, because that's just throwing that's just throwing money over your shoulder. Don't bother. So you want to get those transitioned in or take cuttings or something like that before it starts to get too cold in the evening.
I'm going to keep Limey out for a couple more weeks yet, at least, unless it looks like it's going to get really, really cold.
You know, when I look long term, again, this it's always guesstimate when you're out past tomorrow, but it really didn't look like we were going to start hitting freezing temperatures for quite some time. So you've got a little bit of time. And citrus actually will tolerate down to about 29 before it starts to hit the fruit too badly. And things like orchids, some of the orchids actually like a little bit of cool weather at night. So maybe taking those outside for a couple of days in a shaded spot, you know, and letting them get a little bit of cool might sort of promote some flowering. The citrus actually like a little bit of cold. So we're fine with those.
Yeah. I think it was late October last year before Limey came inside.
Yeah, yeah.
For the winter.
And, you know, anytime we're looking at bringing those things in or taking cuttings, you want to take a look at them very carefully so that you're not bringing insects into the house.
Yeah, and, makes sense.
Yeah, and so often what if you've got the space for it, setting them aside, you know, in a garage or something and watching what's crawling around on them is probably a good thing. Keep in mind also that any kind of fruit you're bringing in, like limey, it more than likely is going to have scale on it at some point in its life. And you just have to watch for it and pick it off.
Yeah, limey's got plenty of fruit right now.
Yeah.
Nice big ones I'm planning to harvest this weekend.
They're ready for harvest, are they?
Mm. They are indeed.
I've got Lemmy. Mine's a lemon. Lemmy is just getting nice and plump, and I bought that late in the season, and it's going to have, I think, good January fruit on it. So that'll be nice. But I watch those things very carefully. If you catch them early, pulling the scale off one at a time is somewhat satisfying, especially if you've got like an hour and a cocktail. It's awesome. You know, just go for it. And the other plant that I'm bringing in is a camellia. I've done camellias for a couple of years over winter, and I absolutely love them. They don't grow outside here, and so they have to be in indoor-outdoor. And mine right now has got phenomenal blossom buds all over it that should bloom about January or so. It might be a little bit earlier because I'm moving it in, but I'll take it all the way down to almost freezing before I bring that one inside. And that's evergreen, so the leaves will stay on all year long.
You put grow lights on it?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Get it in the sunny window?
Yeah, yep. And really, when you're looking at the difference between the sun outside and the sun inside, something that really kind of likes semi-shady or kind of filtered light in its natural habitat, we can put into really a little bit more sun, but not direct, and it'll be fine. I really don't have any issues with the plants that I've taken in and out. They've actually been quite nice. But what you do want to remember, though, is about 85% of your light is lost. So if you're going from a full sun plant outside to a sunny window, you've lost about 85% of the, you know, essential sun that plant is going to need. So if you're trying to grow a full sun plant indoors, you need to get a grow light on it. And for, you know, I have to say that one of the best things to come out of, you know, this is not, okay, it's going to sound weird. One of the best things that's come out of the marijuana industry in many parts of the country has been the availability of small grow lights for the person like me who wants just a small one in the house. You know, otherwise you can get grow lights from greenhouses and things like that. But up until about 6-7 years ago, they were very difficult to find in a decent size. Now they're really quite readily available.
Okay. Jane in Mineral Point will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
What can I do for you?
I have a calicarpa that I purchased in the spring, and it's really lovely right now. The berries that have ripened, and they're quite purple and quite beautiful, and I don't want to lose the plant this winter. Mm-hmm. It's a zone 5 plant, and in Mineral Point, I do best with zone 4 plants, although we're classified as zone 5. So I'm wondering if I need to protect the plant.
What type of calicarpa is it?
Oh, good heavens.
No idea. Don't worry about it. Is it
early amethyst?
Okay, an early amethyst, I believe, is an American calicarpa, I think. And that will tend to be a little bit hardier. There are some Japanese out there that are a little bit less hardy for us in Wisconsin. The interesting thing about the calicarpa is that it's called beauty bush or beauty berry, kind of depends on what common name you're looking for. They erupt very late in the spring. So we get a lot of loss because people give up on them. And so next spring, is this your first year with it or second?
Yes, it is.
Okay, first year. They're not going to really start coming out until late May and sometimes even into June before you start to see some growth on them. You can cut them back to about a foot to 18 inches in the middle of winter. Don't do it now, as if we get a heat with any of the plants, that if you cut them back now, if we get get some rain and a little bit of heat, they may sprout new growth, which will not harden off for winter. And so what you want to do is wait until February or so to trim that back to a foot to 18 inches. And then at that same time, if you don't get to it before, you can actually put some mulch over the top of it if you're concerned about how it will survive or not survive. But you don't want to cover any plant before the ground freezes solid. Otherwise, all you do is provide bed and breakfast for rodents. once the ground freezes solid, then they've found their homes for winter. You may get a little bit of damage, but you're not going to get as much as if you put that mulch down now and made it a nice cozy little bed and breakfast for them. So I think you should be fine by mounding maybe 6-8 inches of mulch over the top.
There you go, Jane. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Number for you, 800-642-1234. Good to see Cheryl Gasser back with us here during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, here to raise the money that pays for all the programs you enjoy, like Garden Talk. So I hope you'll support us during this drive. Support from people like you, it's the single largest piece of the funding for our programs, and that's why your support is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So very important. We are looking for 15 more pledges this hour in support of Garden Talk and everything you enjoy on the Larry Mueller Show. And when you give, you not only fund Larry's program, but everything you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio, on air and online. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Really enjoy Fridays. You know, every Friday we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in maybe lawns or the trees or vegetables or native plants. And then there's some like our guest today who knows a lot about everything. and so it's always fun to have Liz come by as well. So support people like Liz. Support these programs that you hear on Garden Talk with a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, whether you are already a member or you're making your first pledge ever, anyone can become a sustaining member. That means that you give an ongoing amount each month. So let us know what amount works for you every month and whether you want that to come from your bank account or your credit card.
It's that easy, pretty much. Once it's set up, your membership automatically renews, so you can start your sustaining membership right now, as a matter of fact. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
You can invest by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Cheryl Gasser, raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy here on the air. So, what are you going to pledge? Whether maybe it's $10 a month or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
We heard this morning from Susan in Menominee Falls, who says, I can't function without WPR. It keeps me up to date and informed on everything from gardening to news. Thanks for your good work. Well, Susan, thank you for your support. We really could not do it without you. And as the donor, guess what? You get to decide how much you give. Maybe it's $100 or $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And that might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner or maybe doing some things with friends. Those are things you enjoy, certainly, and I hope you keep doing them. It makes life better. just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you, and then go ahead and make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, our listeners are amazing. We're well on track to the halfway mark, looking for 13 more pledges this hour in support of Garden Talk and Wisconsin Public Radio. It's your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That is such an important part of making these programs possible that you enjoy.
And if you're a sustaining member, making ongoing monthly gifts, I want to thank you so much for that. You can make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Marilyn from Middleton says, my radios are always tuned to WPR. Marilyn, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Won't you join her? Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Liz Freemuth, our guest today on Garden Talk. She provides horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe. Always great to have her stop by and talk with you and with me about what's going on in the garden. And John in Belleville has a question for you, Liz, so let's go there. John, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, we moved into our house here this past year, and we have a plum tree. I'm looking online, I believe it's an American plum. The plums were about the size of an egg. I think they're edible, but the thing is pretty overgrown, and I wanted to trim it back, and I just wanted to see, is that something I could do now, or do I need to wait till, you know, the middle of winter when it's really cold, or maybe even the spring?
Middle of winter when it's really cold is usually the answer, but I'm going to tell you, pick a nice warm day for that. The reason why you wait until that time of the year is so that you don't spur growth that doesn't harden off before we get cold temperatures. If you prune now, you're going to get some kind of wonky growth. It's going to be sending up a lot of vegetative growth, and that's not really what you're after. If this tree has been unpruned for quite some time, it's going to take you more than one day to actually do it. Have you had pruning experience in the past?
No, and it looks like this tree hasn't been pruned either.
Well, see, then okay. You're like
kind of growing every which way.
You're like-minded spirits. It'll work out just fine. What I would suggest you do is go online and take a look at, I know Extension, Wisconsin Extension has got some good information on pruning different types of fruit trees. That one of the fruit guys from long ago, Terrell Roper, had said one time, and please, I mean no disrespect to cats at all, period, but he said that you haven't really properly pruned a fruit tree unless you can throw a cat through it without having it catch on any branches. So, Terrell, love you. love cats. Don't throw a cat through. But what you're looking for is really about the expanse of maybe about 18 inches so that you've got plenty of light and airflow that gets through those tree branches. And so you're really looking at structure for a plum tree. And so pruning for structure, you're going to look for weak trunk development. You're going to look for anything that's dead, diseased, rubbing, anything like that that's already causing issues. And you can kind of go in order of dead branches, diseased branches, rubbing branches. And if you remove all of those, then you're looking at structure. So a lot of reading on the topic, and actually I would look around to see if there's maybe some pruning classes offered near you. That would be a good thing to take a look at. And if you're looking at what to do with this tree as time goes, you may end up, if you want it for fruit production, you may end up entering into a spray program, which once you get it pruned, then you can kind of see what diseases you're looking at and whether that's absolutely necessary to do. You really want to take a look, number one, on plum trees for something that Brian calls poop on a stick.
Yeah.
You know, that's a common issue, and it's black knot on Prunus species. And if you see that, it's going to look like clumps of dirt, well, or, you know, as he calls it, around a branch. And that's not something that you want to leave in place. Also, if you do have that on your tree, you want to prune at least 4 to 6 inches beneath that, and then make sure that you're disinfesting your equipment in between cuts so that you're not spreading that fungal pathogen between cuts to other parts of the tree. So that's the long version. The short version is wait till it's cold, but pick a nice day, and don't do it now. Don't wait until the sap starts flowing in the spring, because then you'll just invite some insect and potential disease issues. So you want to do it before the sap starts flowing in the spring.
Good luck, John. Thank you so much for calling. And let's go to Carrie in Fort Atkinson next. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there. A couple questions here. I was given some cuttings for a double impatiens plant last September, and I rooted them during the winter and planted them, and it, oh my gosh, gorgeous plant. So I would like to do the same. I know how to do the cuttings, but when's the best time, and how long can impatiens plants stay outside at night? What temperatures?
We're talking about the succulent type impatiens, correct?
Well, they're small, like the
and they're kind of
they're double.
Yeah, the stems are, they look...
They're thick and fleshy. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Those really will not withstand frost. So you're going to want to keep an eye on the temperatures and bring them in. You can actually bring the plants in as they are now and just keep them going inside and take the cuttings more over winter rather than taking them now. Kind of depends if you've got greenhouse type setup or grow lights, exactly how long you're going to have to take to actually get those to the point of being able to put them outside. So it's going to depend on what you have available for care. If you bring the plants in, you can make that choice yourself. I mean, if you rooted them last year, you know how long it took you before, where are you from, Fort Atkinson? You know how long it took you to get them to the point of being able to put them outside. So just backtrack and take a look at when you need to take the cuttings. And that might have been like January or February, something like that. But then just keep the plants going and healthy until then.
There you go. Thank you so much, Carrie. Appreciate your call. Susan in Oregon, your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi. The last several years, I have had the giant papyrus plant in a pot on my deck. I think I've had them 3 years in a row, but at the end of the season, I just put them in my compost pile because they wouldn't winter over outside. And I'm just wondering if I can bring them in, if I would have any success either in a window or cutting them down and putting them in the basement to be dormant or something.
My guess would be that putting them into a state of dormancy would probably be a better option for you. One of the biggest reasons for that is that houses are extremely low in humidity, and papyrus plants like the heat and humidity. They like water, and I don't know where you could get those conditions on the inside of most homes. So therefore, putting it into a state of semi-dormancy might actually be a better idea. And what is, you know, it's not going to hurt anything to give it a try. If you've got more than one, I would try one in the house to see if you can keep it humid. I would suggest a bathroom. You know, it's almost similar to the lucky bamboo as to what you would need to do with it. So you'd have to watch for insects, definitely, and you'd have to change that water out if you're going to keep it in a moist area. But I would give it a try in both and see where you've got the most luck. And, you know, if you really wanted to experiment, you could go and pick up some probably on sale somewhere and give it a whirl as well.
Yeah, good idea. Thanks, Susan, for calling. James in Fall Creek, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much. I have some trumpet vine sprouts that I dug and planted in pots a couple of months ago, and they are doing very, very well. Should I keep them in pots outside over winter, or can I plant them now in their permanent location to be?
You can plant them now in their permanent location. I think soil temperatures are warm enough yet that you will get them to do okay. But because we are late in the season, after the ground freezes solid, I would put a little bit of cover over that, whether that's a few inches of leaves or mulch or something on that order, so that you're protecting the root zone slightly from the changes in temperature. That's actually where we get the most damage, is not from the cold itself, but from the cold, warm, cold, warm. And until that plant has a chance to settle in, you're going to get movement around those roots, and that will do some damage. So I would say get them in the ground now, the sooner the better. And then just make sure, write yourself a little note, put it on the calendar around about the second week of December or so. Make sure that you get some cover over that root zone. In the meantime, for anybody who's moving plants at this time of the year, and even existing plants that were put in earlier in the year, making sure that you get at least a couple inches of water on those plants until hard freeze is really, really important. Yeah. Some of those deciduous plants, you know, they're not going to take up a lot of moisture once the leaves start to go into full senescence. But, you know, really getting some moisture on those root zones, allowing those root hairs to develop and really hunker down for winter is absolutely essential to get them to survive next year.
James, thank you so much. Bill and Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, I was wondering about fertilizing perennial gardens and lawns. Is it too late to fertilize a lawn, and when should you fertilize a perennial flower garden?
We're not too late for lawns. Halloween is one of the recommended times to do lawn fertilization. And as long as you're putting on a slow release fertilizer in the perennial beds, you should be fine. And I know it's, you know, and the temperatures are nice like this to get out and get some stuff done. It's good to get it down. I would check the formulation of whatever fertilizer you've got to make sure that it's got the lasting power to get you through until next spring. And in fact, this is a great time to do things like that, because when you're using slow release, it gets into the soil and it dissipates, and it's ready there for the plant early in spring when it's actively growing and looking for nutrients. So this is a great time to do it. Just check your formulation to make sure it's slow release.
Here you go. Thank you so much, Bill, for calling. Appreciate your call. Liz Freemuth, our guest today, always great to have her come by and talk with you and with me about our gardens. And it's always great to see Cheryl Gasser come by as well during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Listener contributions here at WPR are the single largest source of funding. So I hope you'll make your gift right now, the gift that keeps our programs, the ones that you value so much, including this one, on the air. You can do it by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Larry, we're looking for 20 pledges this hour, and we only have 11 to go, so we're almost halfway there. You could be the one that puts us over that halfway mark. And it's these hourly goals that are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs you enjoy, programs like Garden Talk. So make your donation, make your donation now. Help us grow strong here at Public Radio, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
I love the Friday programs. I love the Garden Talk shows because I learn so much from people like Liz Freemuth. I feel like I've gotten a gardening education over the years that we've been working with her and with all of the other folks on such a broad range of topics, trees, lawns, prairies. It's an amazing experience for me. And you know how it's possible? It's possible because of your support. WPR is listener supported. This means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more programs possible. So Go ahead, choose an amount that works for you and then take a few minutes and make your pledge.
You know, Larry, we've been talking this hour with Liz about how to overwinter your plants. Well, how about overwintering yourself? When you support the programs you love right now, you can get the cool new WPR crewneck sweatshirt. That's right, fall is here, winter's just around the corner. This sweatshirt is dark gray with the WPR logo on it. It's printed right here in Wisconsin, and you can ask for the sweatshirt with your gift of $20 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $240. Make that pledge. Support WPR and stay warm. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And Bruce, thank you so much. What about you? You can pledge right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser telling you that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on. That's why your support is so important during our fall membership drive. And I don't care if your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
They all matter. Every gift matters. We are in this together. It's like a community garden in a way. So think about it for a second. If you've already made a donation this year, thank you. If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much. But consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100, whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552, and you will help to make this drive successful, and you will support the programs you enjoy every day.
And we have 10 more pledges to go and about 16 minutes or so to get them. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you are not a sustainer, become one right now. Join Liz and Larry and Bruce and myself. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You are always in control, but your giving is as steady as your listening. So please, give your support. Become a sustainer, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is really powerful. It makes a big difference. So do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and thank you. If you have a question, a gardening question for our guest today, Liz Freemuth, I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Nancy in De Pere will give you a chance. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I have a question about hen and chicks. I have had a gaggle of them for about 40 years.
A flock? That's it.
For about 40 years, I've moved them around all over the place with us. And last year, they overwinter fine. Mm-hmm. I put a little mulch over the top of them last year, peeked at them early in the spring, and saw that they survived. And then something came along and ate just about all of them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I survived. Just a couple of little clumps survived through the season. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do I leave them outside again this year or do I bring them in?
I don't know.
I don't want to lose them.
Yeah, when were they eaten? Was it after the snow had melted or while the snow was on the ground?
No, it was after because I had a little bit of leaves over the top and I to, you know, just peeked at them mm-hmm. to see if they survived, and they did, and then I exposed them to whoever ate them.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those Darwin type people with something like this, but because they're plants that you've taken with you and there's a history with them, I actually would bring some in the house and see if you can't propagate them over winter and create more for yourself. And then kind of think back to, you can put them out in the spring, you know, when it's nice enough. Think back to what they look like when they were eaten. Was there anything in particular that caught your eye, or were they just gone one day?
They were just gone.
Huh.
Were they the greenest things in the lawn?
Yeah, only the ones that were sort of tucked under some rocks survived, but the ones that were out in the open were just about gone, just like a rabbit or something ate them just clean off.
Yeah, more than likely. Well, and you can tell the difference between rabbit and deer feeding by one specific little detail when it comes to plants. Rabbits make a very, very angled, sharp cut. Deer, you'll see part of it missing, and then usually they rip. And so it's not a sharp cut. It will be a cut, and it's not as deep of an angle either. And then ripped tissue where they've just kind of grabbed onto it and tore the rest of it off. And that may even just be a few little tiny threads, but it's almost always there. Rabbit damage, definitely angled, definitely sharp. So I would almost tend to think it's got to be either deer or rabbits. And if it was right early in spring, it would depend on who was the largest population, or it could have been both of them out there at the same time, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. Did they come back from the roots at all?
No.
Not at all.
Man. The whole things were, everything was gone except the, like I said, the little tiny ones that were sort of tucked under stone.
Wow.
Those didn't get eaten, but
wow.
And I had a fairly large patch, and I was just heartbroken.
Yeah.
But a few of them did survive.
Yeah. So. Another one that comes to mind is actually a woodchuck. Could potentially do that amount of damage also with having the entire thing gone. Deer potentially could do that because they would rip it up, and so the roots are not that deep on hen and chick, so it's possible that they could have taken the whole plant. But and if it was a whole herd of deer after your flock of chicks, they will overpower it. I would take some in and propagate over winter, because if they were there last year and you're going to have hen and chicks there again, whatever critter found them last year will find them again this year. And so I would anticipate that you're going to have some issues. And just propagate on your own and see what you can do with making more.
There you go.
And then I would watch for tracks and bites and things like that around the rest of the yard.
Or get one of those outdoor cameras that allows you to get some photos of who's out there and doing that work.
Yeah, it helps if you turn it on. That's what I found.
Yeah.
Personal experience.
That is a good
yard.
Thing to do.
Yeah, turn it on.
Nancy, thanks for calling. Marianne in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. So we've got a crazy amount of acorns that are falling from our oak trees, and we're hoping that our trees aren't in distress. And then secondly, do we need to rake those up from the yard? Will it hurt the yard if we leave the acorns on there over the winter?
Is this tree or the acorns that have fallen, are they in a high traffic area? Foot traffic.
Kale. On our roof.
Yeah. Do people walk over the acorns?
The ones on our driveway, those we're trying to, get rid of.
Yeah.
Yard. But on the yard, no.
No, if that to me is a risk, because they're like little marbles when you're walking around. And so you don't want somebody slipping on those and falling. But other than from a safety perspective, I don't think you have to worry about them on the yard. Every once in a while, you'll get an oak tree to pop up from one of those acorns. And at that point, you can always move the little tiny oak trees if you like. But once you mow them over a couple of times, usually they don't come back. So it's not really that much of an issue. It will actually invite squirrels and ground squirrels in, so you may see a higher population of those because the nuts are there for them. So that might be something that you know, if that would bother you to have them in the yard, then you may want to rake them up and get them out because of that. But otherwise, no, I don't see any reason why you would have to. There are some people who like their lawns quite tidy, but other than from a safety perspective, not really.
Then there's people like me. who don't need the tidiest of areas.
I like to call it living mulch. So, you know, it's dropping its living mulch. As far as whether the tree is under stress, probably. Typically what we will see is a cycle of higher nut production, often when the trees are under a little bit more stress. And the last 4 to 5 years, we've had some really, really interesting
stressful times.
Yeah, both highs and lows. And so the tree, you know, may be under a little bit of stress, but the best thing to do for that is just to kind of keep an eye on it and make sure it gets water. Even mature trees need water. You know, as we get older, we still need water. It's the same thing. So just give it a little bit of care. If it looks like you've got branches dying back as you kind of move into next year, you might want to develop a nice relationship with an arborist and have them help you keep an eye on what's going on with your trees.
Thanks, Marianne. Faith in Waupun, it's your turn. Hi, Faith.
Hi. I have a question about peonies.
Mm-hmm.
We had road construction this year, and they dug one out, and so my husband planted or just stuck them in the ground. And I'm wondering now if we can get them out now and plant them in a different place.
Mm-hmm. But right now is a wonderful time to dig up and replant peonies. The peony growers have around here have August 17th as the date that you don't do anything until. So we're past August 17th, and this is a great time to dig them up and move them. What you're looking at when you dig a peony, an herbaceous peony, up out of the ground is you'll see, right now, you'll actually see some little nubs coming up. And those you are going to be facing upward. So once you get it out of the ground, if you're, you know, like the rest of the people, you look at it and go, oh, which way did I take that out of the ground? Well, the little nubs, it go up toward the sky, and the big fleshy roots will go toward the ground. And an old peony will actually have quite a substantial root mass to it, and tubers coming off of it, and just really, really interesting stuff going on. But what you want to do is have those little nubs that are going upwards, you want those to be within 2 to 3 inches of the soil surface. It should, once you put that into the ground, you should look at it and say, gee, I think it should be a little deeper. You've got it just right. If you're thinking, gee, it should be a little deeper, it's perfect. Don't move it. Don't touch it. It's wonderful. Peonies are cold-loving plants, so we are blessed to have good conditions to grow them here. Don't worry about them. This is their time of the year. If you want to divide, you can do that by just seeing where those little points are and breaking them apart and creating new plants also.
Good luck, Faith. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here, and Cheryl Gasser joins us, who's had all kinds of problems with her own gardening this year because she's got a boot on her foot. And she still listens to Garden Talk, don't you?
To be inspired, Larry. Yeah, my boot is my excuse, but I love the idea of gardening, and I love learning about it on your show, and I will get out there next year, I promise.
All right. Well, in the meantime, as you listen to Liz and Cheryl and I talk, we're asking for your gift of support right now. It's so important. Gifts from people like you are the single largest source of funding for our WPR programs. Your gift keeps all the programs going, especially Garden Talk. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have a goal of 20 pledges this hour, Larry. We're getting so very close. Your pledge could put us over the top. So please make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every single day.
Put in a vote for Garden Talk right now. WPR programs are listener supported. That means that your pledge right now, any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Helps pay for the programs you rely on. It really does make a difference.
It does. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Here on Garden Talk, you know, we learn together. We learn how to get the best from our gardens. We learn how to care for our houseplants. You ask great questions. You share your own tips. Garden Talk is a community. WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give, You make Garden Talk and all the other programs you enjoy here on WPR possible. So choose an amount that works for you. It takes just a few minutes and make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I promise we'll do a show sometime on gardening with a broken foot just for Cheryl.
Thanks, Larry.
You may have a broken foot too, or maybe you don't, but whatever. If you've been a contributor, I want to thank you so much for that. But really, also just to thank you for being a WPR listener. And thank you to everyone who's already become a member. We're listener supported. Your support makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
And if WPR is your radio home, support it now. Make the news, discussions, and music possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This fall membership drive, we have a new gift to help you embrace the season. It's a WPR logo crewneck sweatshirt. It's heathered gray and printed right here in Wisconsin.
Fall, what's not to love? Fall is the season that I thrive in personally. You can't go wrong. Not too hot, not too cold.
I love the fall. I love the color. I love the fact that football is back on. I love that the temperature is good. It's not too hot or too cold.
I love the colors on the trees. I like the crispness in the air. It almost smells different than summer, and I really like being outside when it's chilly and having a warm drink to kind of warm you up from the inside out.
The WPR sweatshirt is just one more thing to love about fall. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or make a one-time gift of $240. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser asking for your support during our fall membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So your gift, if it's $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And giving to WPR, it is so very easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Just takes a few minutes to make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. So your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, some great news. We just made our hourly goal of 20 pledges. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But there's still room for you. Your gift now is still such an important part of the programs you enjoy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing gifts, I want to thank you so much for that. Making today a time when you increase your support, it would also be wonderful. Maybe you add $5 or $10 a month. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for joining us today for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth. Back with us once again. She provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Whole. And we're talking about all kinds of things in the garden, taking your questions. Do you have a problem spot in the garden, a question? Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Liz, we have a caller, Ann from Wauwatosa, who has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
I have a very beautiful climbing hydrangea on a 6-foot cedar fence, and I've never pruned it. It's very, very beautiful, but now we're getting a new fence. So now I don't know whether we'll be able to pull that away from the fence, whether I should prune it down. I just don't know what to expect.
Yeah, without taking a look at it, I wouldn't know what to expect either with that. It may actually be growing so much in and around the fence that, if it's cedar, you might be able to cut pieces of the fence off and just pull them out from around the hydrangea. You know, rather than try and pull the hydrangea off the fence. Do you think you're going to have to pick it up out of the ground, dig it up and move it, or is the fence going to go in around the hydrangea?
I won't have to dig it up or move it.
Okay.
That's going to be in the same place.
Okay. Okay. And cedar fence, are we talking about solid? Is it picket? You know, what kind of fence are we talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Okay. I still would say take a look at, rather than rip that whole hydrangea apart, I would actually look at taking chunk of the fence down. You can lay that gently along the ground, and you're going to have to be very careful, possibly set something up against the base of that hydrangea so that you're not bending the stem so far close to the ground that it's going to snap, but then you may actually be able to wiggle those pieces of fencing out from around the hydrangea vines.
Oh.
And rather than try and pull them out of the fence. And that might actually work better for you in this instance. Then really all you have to do is tie it up to the new fence. You kind of keep it down, get the new fence put in, and then tie it to the new fence, and it will eventually, you'll see some death in it, but you won't see whole scale death if you had to cut it down to the base or try and pull it off of that fence.
Give that a try.
Yeah.
And good luck. Appreciate your call. It'll be a little interesting experiment.
It will. It probably will test relationships in the house dramatically. You know, it's kind of like putting up wallpaper. If you can put up wallpaper successfully, then, you know, it'll last. This will be the same thing. If you can get that fencing off of that hydrangea, the relationship will last.
Thanks, Ann. Annabelle in Fort Atkinson. Hello to you.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to me.
Sure.
I have a question about what to do with my orchids. I have three orchids. I've had them for several years, and it isn't until just recently I've noticed that there's some kind of a sticky substance that's been on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I took them a week or so ago, took them to my sink, and I thought, well, I will spray them with some water. Well, that did absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what it is that I can do. I've not seen bugs, but I assume it might be scale or something like that. And I don't know how I can save the plants.
Okay, are they in bloom right now?
No, a couple of them are still have a few on, but for the most part, no. But I do see new leaves that are growing, so there is life in the plant.
Yeah. What you want to look at, let me ask you this. Do you still have the tall stems from the old flowers on them, or have those been cut back?
I have not cut anything back yet, except a few that I saw were totally dead, and I've trimmed those somewhat, but otherwise, no.
Okay, then do you have other plants around them?
Not too far away, yes.
Okay, is there any overhang over the orchids from those other plants? The reason I'm asking this is generally when you get sticky stuff on leaves, it's honeydew from bugs that are piercing and sucking on leaves, and then that exudes with a sticky substance. And eventually, if conditions are good, and they usually are, you'll get what's called sooty mold. It's not really a mold, but sooty mold, well, actually, yeah, it is, on the leaves. And it is very difficult to get off. What you might want to try is a horticultural soap of some sort that is usable on orchids. Either that or you may even want to take it in. Where are you from?
Fort Atkinson.
Is there an extension office around Fort Atkinson? You may actually want to try taking that to an extension office and having them take a look at it. Either that, or if you've got a garden center, a good garden center close by, or a florist shop. Usually garden centers will have somebody that's a little bit better on diseases than a florist shop, but they may be able to look at it and take it apart at the base, you know, get into the roots, etc., to see if there's something else going on. But typically if they're sticky on the leaves, you're getting insect damage somewhere.
Yeah.
And so then it's figuring out where and what it is and how to treat treat it. And typically, finding the insect is the first thing, is to find out what it is so that you can figure out what to do with it. But I think take it to an extension office and have one of the helpers there, one of the master gardeners, give you a hand with identifying.
Good luck. Thank you, Annabelle, for calling. Appreciate your call. Mary in Superior, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two springs ago, I planted hydrangeas and a spirea, or a couple of spirea, and they bloomed beautifully the first year. And then this last year, the plants looked healthy, the hydrangeas grew really big, but there were never any flowers on either of them.
Mm-hmm. What type of hydrangea? Did it have cone-shaped heads or round heads?
Round.
Okay. And did you trim it back?
No.
Okay. And the spirea, what type of spirea is it? A spring blooming or a summer blooming?
I can't remember. It was, I think white birch spirea. Is that?
Okay. Yeah, that's spring bloomer. Yep. Gorgeous plants, both of them. I'm guessing that you had something like an Annabelle hydrangea. And if you put them in the spring and they bloomed that same spring, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they were ready to go from the grower. And what they are doing now is they're adjusting to their new home. I would not get too worried about it. We did have kind of a tough winter, and you and Superior probably always have a tough winter. And so I don't know that I would worry about it. If they look healthy and they're growing, give them a couple of years to really develop and take hold where they're at. At that point, then, you know, we can talk about when you're pruning, et cetera. With hydrangeas and spirea both, you're not going to want to prune late in the season, or you're going to cut off those buds for the next following spring. So, you know, just if nothing else, just let them go for a couple of years, prune off the dead branches. You'll be able to see with the hydrangea, there'll be sticks coming up that you might want to prune off because they're dead. But if you're not sure when to prune, depending on what cultivar it was with the hydrangeas, just wait until the leaves pop out and then cut off whatever's dead up above it, and you'll be safe, at least for a couple of years.
There you go. Thank you, Mary, for calling. Terry in Porterfield, let's go to you next. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I built a strawberry planter out of old dresser drawers and table legs.
Cool.
And so it sits up off of the ground. There's airspace underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, will my strawberries survive, or is there something I can do to protect them for the winter?
Is this year one?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's up off the ground, and Porterfield is, I'm not familiar with that city. Where is Porterfield? What part
Marinette,
of the state?
Close Marinette, between Crivets and
okay.
Marinette.
Okay, so you are going to have some temperatures to deal with. And as long as they're hardy for your zone, we don't worry about the plants themselves so much, especially if they're in enough soil. But because they're in a raised planter, what you might want to do is get some hay or straw bales around that to kind of insulate the outside edge, and then also the bottom, because you said it's up off of the ground and it has table legs. So what you might want to do are get some bales underneath there. And the reason why you're looking at protecting anything in a container for overwinter is the freeze-thaw effect of those nice hot sunny days when it hits the sides of any type of a raised bed, a container, etc. It's going to heat that up, and that's actually going to activate the roots on the inside. And once those are activated, the plant says, oh, hey, let's get going. Well, then you get another cold snap. Then it's going to kill off that activity, and it just creates too much stress on the plant. So what you're looking to do is keep it as moderated as possible, and that's what the bales and the mulch and the insulation, etc., are for. Packing blankets work great for, you know, even if you've got enough of those to go around the base to actually insulate that air underneath the table, that will give you some moderation on the underside. But because you've got it in the air completely and totally, you will want to modify what the cold is doing.
There you go. Thank you so much for calling, Terry. Tim emailed to say he cut down a flowering crabapple tree last year, and this year around midsummer, it sent up a whole bunch of feeders. He sent us a photo.
Yeah.
And Liz and I are looking at it right now. in roughly a 15-foot radius. And really, it looks like 15 feet.
And they look healthy, too.
Yeah, they're
they
really
were nice looking. They were nice looking little suckers coming up. And I mean that, you know, in the, they are suckers.
They are suckers.
They are suckers. And so I'm sure he does not want them there, or else he wouldn't have taken out the crab apple to start with. So how do you get rid of suckers that are coming up? His root mass underneath there must be absolutely phenomenal. But what you would do is either pull those up, mow it off, or you can go the route of using some sort of chemical control if you so choose. You may actually want to dig down if you've got an issue like this and grind the stump out. It might be that there's enough stump there that's providing nutrients for those suckers. So yep. I think over time it will die out. You're just going to have to be a little persistent.
And we have another email or two, I believe, here. Dave, you want to help us out there a little bit? Jennifer emailed to say she has 5 trees, 4 apple and 1 maple tree in containers due to a variety of reasons. She can't plant them until spring. How does she keep them? Does she keep them in the pots? Does she put them in the basement? Does she dig them into the ground?
Dig them into the ground. Even if you bury the pots underground, you're better off than trying to overwinter them over the top of the soil. So even, you know, if it's that you're moving and you absolutely cannot do that, you may, in your own yard, you may want to find a friend that you can drop the pots into the ground. So dig holes or a trench, drop them in, and make sure that everything is tight against those pots. So backfill the soil in it and make sure that there's not a lot of air pockets, etc. Make sure they get watered all the way up to hard freeze, though, too, because they are going to need the water, even though they're in the ground.
Even though they're in the ground. Mm-hmm. Are you a busy gal these days, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
but you know what?
The
weeds have not stopped this year. I've done more weeding than I have in the last, I cannot tell you how many years. Yeah, it's been busy.
And it's been,
I love it.
And for those of us with straw bales, it's been terrible because of all the rain.
My
straw bales just disintegrated on me.
They started out so beautiful because I've got a client that did straw bales first time this year, and she was so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I said, this is an unusual year. Give it another go next year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give it another go as well. Liz Freemuth, our guest today, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hole. And Cheryl Gasser's business is radio. And so you know what? She's decided to come right back and talk with me with you about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for information on all kinds of in-depth discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
And it's listener support that is the single largest source of funding for WPR. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference. It really does. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 24, and we needed at least 20 to reach our goal, and we got 24, so thank you so much. Our goal in this half hour is to get how many?
10 pledges, and you can be one of those 10. It's listener-powered radio, WPR, the Ideas Network, the Larry Mueller Show. We are listener-powered, and that means that these goals are important. They help us stay on track to fund the programs you count on and enjoy. So do your part right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial-free, I expect. That means we depend on other sources of funding. We have state monies. We have federal monies. Business sponsors are so important. And there's another source that's very important. And, of course, what is that source?
It is you, the listener. The single largest piece of funding for WPR programs comes from you. Let me say that again. The single largest piece of funding for the programs you enjoy and count on comes from you. It's your support that makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work here at Wisconsin Public Radio. When you give, you keep quality, independent information on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, maybe it's because you don't think you can make that much of a difference, but I hope you'll think again. Listener donations, again, as Cheryl was saying, they make up the single largest support or portion of funding for WPR programs. But that doesn't mean we're asking you for necessarily ever a huge gift.
Not at all. It's a gift from thousands of people combined together that makes the single largest piece of funding for WPR programs. And many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. So you get to decide the amount that works for you and then join in this team effort with your gift at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Love having Master Gardeners call in the show, especially on Fridays. We hear from a lot of Master Gardeners. And here's something that we learned a while back. Master Gardeners can get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk. And I guess that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to people like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice, for that matter.
And we have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions. People like Liz, people like Larry. You know your gardening stuff too, Larry. Whether it's about fruit trees or organic gardening, rose bushes, there are so many topics. And we're asking you now to apply some fertilizer to the program by making your pledge of support. It really does help us grow strong. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we haven't mentioned this during this program yet, but you can let the world know that you're a WPR fan when you wear your cool new WPR socks. And today only, you'll get two pairs of WPR socks when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. They are really cool socks.
They are snazzy. You can see them online when you make your pledge at WPR.org. Your gifts support the programs you count on, and you get these stylish and comfortable socks. Show your support for WPR on this first day of our fall membership drive, and you will get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's no mystery. Some things in life you just can't get enough of, like great WPR programming and socks. And then there's the unsolved mysteries of life, like where do socks disappear to in the laundry?
My theory is just that socks like their independence. They go through, you know, they're like people. They go through adolescence. When they're adolescent, they want to be independent. They want to break free from the pair of socks and establish their own identity.
Well, if you're sharing laundry, I think sometimes those socks end up in other people's laundry. That certainly happened to me. I've gotten foreign socks before, and it's awkward because whose are they? You never know.
I think it's the great sock-eating monster that gobbles them up, and I don't know where that monster lurks, but it hangs out in my basement, I know that.
The solution is no mystery. Replenish your sock drawer and keep the WPR programming you love strong. Today only, you'll get two pairs of WPR socks when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
I'm going to have to throw in another $120 into my contribution so I can get two pairs of these socks. They're really cool. How can you do it? Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser, raising the money that keeps WPR and all the programs you enjoy on the air. And your gift, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month or more. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And Larry, we are doing great toward that hourly goal. We are looking for four pledges in the next 4 minutes. If you have already given, thank you so much.
And if you haven't seen these socks yet, you better take a look at them. They're really cool socks. And if you haven't given yet, why don't you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get access to the world. This kind of exposure really makes a difference in your life. You get the news and information you need to stay informed. You get great gardening advice. And these conversations make you think, help you learn. And then there's great music and entertainment to help you relax.
And whether you live in a small town or a big city, when you listen to WPR, you're in a global citizen. You've become one, hearing from artists and all these folks and experts in the forefront of their fields, people like Liz Freemuth, because you appreciate the access to the best the world has to offer. I hope you'll make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You have made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially. It really is as simple as that, and it takes just a few minutes. We're listener-supported, and it means that your support is crucial. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we only have two more pledges to go, and we've got about a minute and a half to reach that goal. Please give right now. Your gift is very, very powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't, do it right now.